Hey everyone, welcome back to Private Club Radio, your industry source for conversations, trends, news, and updates. I'm your host, Denny Corby. As always, appreciate you all so much for being here. Thanks for being a part of this journey. So last episode, we talked with Josh about renovations and going through updates and everything. And this one, I get to talk chat with David Kent from Crown Colony down in Naples, and they're about to embark on a massive renovation. So I think it might be this week. They are going to vote it's about 12 million with 10 million on the course, about 1.2 million on the clubhouse. David talks about his club a little bit, very golf focused, very small membership, although they are not on a waiting list. Which is probably because of the need for a golf renovation. So they're doing $10 million, going to be done in about 5 months, which is wild. And they're really going down to because it hasn't been updated in about 25 years. So it's much, much, much needed, not so much visually, but all the inner workings need to be done. And as always, when you come to doing renovations and updates and very costly ones, you know, we talk about how to handle those conversations with the members, how to chat and communicate with the members who aren't happy about it or don't see value in some of the things that the other members do. Since it is a very golf heavy course, not so much of a country club, more of like a strictly golf club. You know, there's members who aren't happy about, you know, the clubhouse being updated because they don't really care about it. So we just talk about that in the conversations and, you know, working around that arena, how to navigate that. So it's not a very long episode. It's a short episode. I got to visit David when I was down in Florida. Just had popped over and did a quick little chat and thought it would be beneficial, especially since we just talked about Josh going through his. This is one that is going to be happening soon. Before we begin, a quick little note from some of our show partners. Concert Golf Partners is changing the game one club at a time. Since their inception in 2001, they've been on a mission to preserve and elevate private clubs, pouring capital into enhancements that matter. But what sets them apart? These aren't your run-of-the-mill operators. They are a dedicated team with a passion for enhancing the private club experience both on and off the green. It's their commitment to maintaining the club's unique identity while executing strategic improvements that boost the overall experience and financial health. With Concert Golf Partners, your club gains access to a network of enhanced properties, reciprocal play privileges, and a future free from the burden of debt and outdated facilities. They're not just building better clubs, they're crafting lasting legacies for members and communities alike. If you'd like to learn more about Concert Golf Partners or recapitalization or learning how your members will have no more assessments, head on over to concertgolfpartners.com, set up a confidential call with Peter Danula. And that's it. Simple as that. Also, be sure to check out our episodes of Board Chats here on Private Club Radio, brought to you by our friends, you guessed it, Concert Golf Partners. It's 2024 and it's time to change the way you vet your new members. Some traditions are worth modifying. The new member process hasn't changed really in the past 150 years, relying almost solely on social relationships and casual interactions, but lacking in factual data. And this is where Kennis comes in, because the traditional application process tells you very little about someone's behaviors and character until now. Kennis has created an innovative and confidential, comprehensive applicant information gathering process that provides an unrivaled depth of information. The world of member vetting has evolved to a new standard, and Kennis is your turnkey solution to meet this new industry best practice. You can rely on Kennis to provide the facts that you need to make fully educated member decisions, because what you don't know can hurt your club and your members. To learn a little bit more or to set up a call, head on over to membervetting.com, fill out the form. You're going to have a chat with Paul Dank. It's going to be good. He's a great guy. Also, be sure to check out our episodes of Member Vetting here on Private Club Radio. And with that, please welcome David Kent.
So tell me about the renovation.
Yeah. So the renovation, to fast forward to that, is tip to tail on the golf course. Full. It's really an infrastructural endeavor. Course is almost 25 years old, and it hasn't seen any significant capital lift. So irrigation's starting to fail. The drainage is starting to fail. The turf is 25 years old, so it's starting to mutate and things like that. So when you play the golf course, you don't see it, right? But underneath, the superintendent is really starting to see things change. So we're looking at roughly $10 million on the golf course, and then an additional one point something to do
the mystery number.
Right. Call it 1.2.
Yeah.
To do a clubhouse expansion. Clubs down in Florida, you want outdoor dining and outdoor bars. And so we don't have that. So we're going to build off the back of the clubhouse and do a standalone outdoor area to eat and drink.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming nice cooling areas or cooling things. And then when it's hotter out, keep it nice and cool in there.
You can secure it with roll down doors or shutters, huge fans. When it's cool, infrared heaters. The centerpiece is going to be the bar in an octagonal shaped structure right behind our new proposed 18th green. So the golf course isn't seeing a ton of redesign features. It's just, it's all new infrastructure.
Really?
I mean, to do irrigation alone on a course where you're roughly 100 acres, I mean, you're looking at $4 to $5 million just to do irrigation alone.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And you're starting from scratch then.
You really are.
You're going down to the...
Yep. So our notice for annual meeting went out a couple weeks ago. The annual meeting's April 11. Proxies have hit mailboxes and inboxes, and we're collecting proxies up through the 10th of April. The vote will be...
This is like current. This is like this is right now.
This is right now. Yep. This is right now. Membership is eagerly waiting the vote to be announced on April 11. I anticipate that it's going to pass, resoundingly so.
Yeah.
The project is 2026.
Completion.
That's when we'll start.
Oh, wow.
So we find 2 years of lead time just to make sure the permitting, Southwest Florida Water Management District, that we check all the right boxes with the engineer, the architect, everything. So we'll start. It's an off-season project. So we'd start April of 26 and then cut the ribbon, hopefully December 1st of 26.
Wow.
7 months.
Seven. That's wild.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of work in a short amount of time.
It's the growing season. So we'll hit it fast and furious.
Wow.
And then by midsummer, you're pretty much done. And the superintendent and his team, they're just growing everything in.
So, yeah, I would assume a good planning for 2 years for that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any challenges looking as the world and technology and everything's like expanding and, you know, everything's new now and like updates are coming quicker and sooner. Is it difficult planning for that far out or not really?
Having that lead time is adequate.
Okay.
So the plan itself for the course and the clubhouse piece, they're done. Once we get the approval from the membership vote, then we'll dive deeper.
Gotcha.
With grading plans and greens plans, and it starts to come to life in a 3D fashion. Whereas right now it's just renderings, albeit done.
Yeah.
We have the architectural piece and the renderings for the clubhouse, you know, then you'll start looking at the plumbing and the build and the electric and the FF&E to figure out how you're going to furnish it all, things like that. So having 2 years lead time it's a nice window to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the anticipation gets to go there and you get to really build up that excitement and momentum. And now, do you think this is going to help also with memberships then as well? That's going to be a bigger...
100%. Yeah. I mean, I can't necessarily say it's like a field of dreams, build it and they will come.
Yeah.
But you have to be relevant and you have to be vibrant in such a competitive marketplace. Like Jason would tell, we're one of the three most competitive markets in the country. You've got Jupiter and the Palm Beaches on the East Coast. You've got Palm Springs out West, and you have Southwest Florida. So you have 150 private clubs in Lee and Collier County. So if you aren't engaging these significant obligatory and aspirational capital improvements, you're dying because everyone else is doing it. And the clubs that have done this, that have made all of the really wonderful improvements to their amenities and member experience, they're all full. All their memberships are full.
And you've been here since 2020. So has this been one of your kind of like major things, the one you've been really hoping and pushing for?
100%. And it's less of, you know, a personal achievement and milestone. It's just knowing and believing it's the right thing for the club.
How many memberships do you have here?
So the cap is 260. And so we're,
that's not bad.
It's a small membership.
Yeah.
It's just a golf club. It's golf and food. So the golf is the centerpiece. It needs to be taken care of. Enhance the practice facility, make sure the infrastructure on the course is good, that you're delivering a premium product and experience every day. And you're 24 or 5 years old, it's time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking from like my point of view, like if I was looking at a golf club, like I would hope to come in and everything's nice and fresh and new and
exactly
up to, you know, you want to bring your friends, you want to
100%. You want that wonderful, rich experience from the minute you get here. Lunch, golf, golf cocktails, dinner, however that looks,
yeah.
Golf and go. You want it to be right every day.
What have been some of the bigger challenges and hurdles with the whole process so far?
Building the capital. The relevance to a club now and in the future is the club's net worth and the club's capital.
So how are you guys doing that now?
We've really accelerated robust growth and contribution to our capital reserve. Through capital dues, through growing the membership that are paying the dues, through raising initiation fees. As long as you feel the experience is, you know, relevant to the initiation fee, it's very competitive in the marketplace. So it's growing that capital reserve to be prepared for the future. Assessment's a dirty word in the club business.
Yeah.
So you don't want to just, hey, we've got this great pie in the sky concept, and oh, by the way, we're going to pass the hat for $50,000 of membership. You want to be able to build that reserve for now and the future, and that's through capital dues and initiation fees.
Are you going to borrow? Or are you looking just to fully cash it out?
No, there'll be some borrowing as well. So the project in total $12 million.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be one third from capital reserve, one third from borrowing, and one third from member assessment.
That's not horrible.
Yep. So $4 million each.
Yeah. No, that's not bad.
Mm-mm.
And hopefully you can probably get a good rate.
We hope so.
Hopefully.
We hope the rates start dropping. The capital model a few years ago looked a lot better than it does now, but it's still adequate for us to service the debt through the capital dues and our capital reserve.
Are there any short-term pains you and the club have made or kind of, I don't want to say sacrifice, but has there been some things because you're looking to plan, you know, do a heavy push with it? Have there been some areas where we're like, hey, guys, listen, this might be a little bit janky for a bit, but just bear with us because we know the fruits are going to be better?
So the initial look from the master plan committee, it was golf, golf, golf. Let's make sure that we enhance our practice facility, obviously lift the infrastructure to where it needs to be. So everything was golf focused. Then, you know, boards change, committees change. So then holistically, it was, let's see if we can lift the house piece as well. So then the clubhouse expansion came online. Now it's only 10% of the total spend.
I was going to say, yeah.
But it really stoked emotions of the membership, where some are like, this just puts it over the top for me and I am totally in. And there are some that think, why on earth would you do something like that? So you're never going to please all people all the time.
Right.
But the board and myself, we feel this is the best plan for the club as a whole. The social members have something they can enjoy. The golf members just have their overall experience enhanced by doing a house piece. But for it to shift from golf, 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 and then all of a sudden and house, it's very interesting to see the response of the membership.
Yeah. So it almost sounds like the golf and go people more who don't really care. They're just like, hey, here just for one reason.
100%.
Why should I have to give extra because I don't use the facilities? And
that's why our golf membership is four times the size of our social membership. Because if you're a member here, you're here for a phenomenal golf experience every day. And then you add the house piece. Social members think it's great. Some golf memberships, they think it's great. Some, not so much.
What makes your experience here so great? Or why would people, your members, say it's so great?
It's the culture. It's the culture of the people, the members and the staff. It's unpretentious. It's laid back. It's come as you are. Let's eat, drink, be merry. Go home and do it again the next day. Yeah. just it's a really laid back, warm. And the membership being small, it really nurtures relationships. You're not a number, you're a name and a relationship and a face.
You must have a lot of training in that with all your staff as well, or because that's like some top level stuff.
We do. We want to make sure, and it shows in the retention of the staff, that aside from bringing the right training and the steps of service for the membership, we create such a great environment for the staff that our level of staff retention is as high as anybody's in town. We're not chasing staff. We have staff that when they're on board and they're ingrained in the experience and service, they stay because they're happy too. The members are happy and the staff is happy.
Going back, how, with those members who are irritated, you know, whatever, how have you smoothed that over? I know there's still some more like time and like decisions to come, but how have you, as you know, the leader, kind of diffused or tried to like get them on board?
It's respect of opinion and active listening. You understand that not everyone is going to agree on everything all the time. You want to see that really happen, just change something. It doesn't matter what you're changing. The cheese on the burger, the tissue in the bathroom, you're going to get all sorts of opinions. Just actively listen, understand them, respect their opinion, even if it's not in alignment with what you think or what the board thinks is the best for the club. That's challenging.
I can say his name because the way I phrased it when we were talking, he didn't like it. So I'll hold out. But he said, "Your goal," and I'm paraphrasing. We're having a fun conversation. He goes, "The goal is to only piss off 10% of your members every year, but keep it the same 10%." He said, "Like at like most." He's like, "Because you're not going to make everyone happy." He's like, "So if you can make 10% or less, and keep it the same, because there's managers that come in that keep pissing off different 10%,
sure.
And now after 4 years, it's 40% of the membership is not like you for some reason or like another." He's like, "If you can just find less than 10%, just and just be happy with knowing those people who aren't going to like you for whatever reason are the club, and that's who they are." He's like, "We'll just keep it at that."
Yeah, I've not heard it like that before.
I'm probably phrasing it horribly.
No.
But that's just how I took it.
It makes complete sense. It's hard. Every club has them. Every club is going to have the hole poker, the complainer looking for the shadow in the corner, and that's their MO, and that's fine. You just kill them with kindness, and you kill them with consistency. Just consistent.
Just wear them down.
That's it. Just do it, you know, and you might turn one, right? We're delivering an experience and a lifestyle.
Yeah.
We're not saving lives, but we can change lives for the better. Offer consistent, you know, sustainable product and service for the members, and hopefully you get a few more on your side every year.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's on the bus.
The energy bus.
Great book. Great book.
Yep. I just pulled that one off the bookshelf to go through like again. Just one of those like things, just like get filtered. And it's like, I haven't read that in a while. It's just fun to go through. It's like, to me, I'm like I engage with my books. Like, so I'll like write and highlight and like not ask, but just like have fun with it. It's just fun to go through like, what did I highlight that? What was I going? Like, what?
It's great looking back. My books are the same. Highlighted, dog-eared, underlined, the whole deal. So I got it from...
There's just like,
yeah,
and then even like the corners, I'm like, oh, if I don't have a thing on me, yeah, I'm like, oh, I'll just do the corner as well.
Yeah. Have you read The Obstacle is the Way?
Listen to it.
So got them from Wyndham Clark.
Yeah.
I was reading an article about him, about his US Open success and how he tweaked his mindset.
The Obstacle is the Way?
The Obstacle is the Way.
That's
not that he wrote it. Wyndham Clark won the US Open.
Oh.
He was giving an interview or an article to Golf Magazine or Golf Digest.
God, my bad.
And he recommended those two books. And I'm like, I'm going to buy them. Read them both and phenomenal. Energy Bus was great. And Ryan, The Obstacle is Away, both.
Ryan Holiday, I've started drinking.
That's right.
Yep, I've been drinking his juice hard.
Yeah. It's good.
I know. It's like, it's so easy, it's hard. You're like, of course this
it's
is.
It's like, you're the master of the obvious.
Yeah. But it's just, and it goes, like, it's just the thinking that's been, this is what the people said. And like, I haven't read like the, you know, all like the Stoic books, but I've read them through him, so to speak.
Yeah.
But it is interesting when he phrased it a few ways. It's
basically you're reading people's, like you're reading these thoughts of people who did not intend to be published. Like this was before like press, there's like, they're writing their stuff for their own, not any, like there's no tweets, there's no nothing.
Yeah.
And then to get it all, it's like, that's the same stuff everyone's just going through.
100%.
Whether it's back then. But any like words of, I don't want to say words of wisdom or just any like people starting to go through the process now, any words of wisdom, words of the wise, any people who might be starting to like go through a similar progression?
Two things are top of mind. So number one is we're in the business of making decisions on data and fact, not on opinion and emotion. I think that's number one. We all have an opinion and we all have emotions and they're triggered by different things. But we have to be in the business of making those decisions on fact and data. Not sexy, no flair to it, but it's when you make the most sound decisions. Second, transparent and frequent communication all the time. It doesn't just stay in the boardroom or in my office or in a committee meeting. Like, tell the story over and over and over and over and over and over the same way. Because you'll be astonished that even when you do it, then you'll get asked the question, well, what about this? And you're thinking, well, we've already answered that 4,800 times, but we're going to do it 4,801 with a smile on our face, just to keep communicating all the time. It's, you can't over communicate, especially when it's, hey, guess what? We want to spend $12 million and engage this project. It isn't like, we're doing it, now give us the money. It's, these are the reasons why. And you bring them all along with you. So you're, more and more people are on the bus because you've told the story over and over with the whys, rooted in the fact. And just be as transparent as you possibly can.
That's fine. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Great to meet you.
You as well.
Hope you all enjoyed that episode. I know I did. I just love learning so much of the ins and the outs and how different clubs do different. Oh, this is so fascinating. I love it. So thank you all so much for being here, enjoying, supporting the channel. Hope you all are enjoying the content as much as I do. Obviously you are. But if you are, always appreciate a like, share, or subscribe. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to our newsletter. Head on over to privateclubradio.com to subscribe. And that's it. Until next time, catch you on the flippity flip.